Today is the third day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here. It's great to be here with you. It's great to be here with you together around the global campfire as we gather again for another day and another step forward in the scriptures. And we have wound our way from the beginning of the year and the beginning of the Bible all the way into the book of Judges. And we read of the story of the judge named Samson yesterday. We'll continue forward as we meet the other judges of Israel. And once again, not to be redundant, but Judges covers the centuries between Joshua's death and the emergence of kings in Israel. So the judges were the leaders of Israel during that transitional period, those transitional centuries. And so let's dive in. We're reading from the English Standard Version this week, Judges chapters 17 and 18. There was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and also spoke in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be my son by the Lord." And he restored the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, "I dedicate the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a carved image and a metal image. Now therefore I will restore it to you." So when he restored the money to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave it to the silversmith, who made it into a carved image and a metal image. And it was in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household gods and ordained one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man of Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed from the town of Bethlehem in Judah to sojourn where he could find a place. And as he journeyed, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" And he said to him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to sojourn where I may find a place." And Micah said to him, "Stay with me, and be to me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, and a suit of clothes, and your living." And the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. And Micah ordained the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, because I have a Levite as a priest." In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in, for until then no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent 5 able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, "Go and explore the land." And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, and they turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" And he said to them, "This is how Micah dealt with me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord." Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people who were there, how they lived in security, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth and possessing wealth, and how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth." So 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol, and went up and encamped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahane Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kiriath Jearim. And they passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to scout out the country of Laish said to their brothers, "Do you know that in these houses there are an ephod, household gods, a carved image, and a metal image? Now therefore consider what you will do." And they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levites at the home of Micah and asked him about his welfare. Now the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gates. And the five men who had gone to scout out the land went up and entered and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, while the priest stood by at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Keep quiet. Put your hand on your mouth and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to a tribe and clan in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod and the household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. So they turned and departed, putting the little ones and the livestock and the goods in front of them. When they had gone a distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the house near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the people of Dan. And they shouted to the people of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter with you that you come with such a company?" And he said, "You take my gods that I made and the priest and go away? And what have I left? How then do you ask me what is the matter with you?" And the people of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the people of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. But the people of Dan took what Micah had made, and the priest who belonged to him, and they came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, and struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth-Rehob. Then they rebuilt the city and lived in it, and they named the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestor, who was born in Israel. But the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up Micah's carved image that he made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. John 3, 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Psalm 104, 1-24. O Lord, my God, you are very great. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them, the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and its night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Proverbs 14, 20 and 21. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Okay, so we came to one of, if not the most famous verse in the Bible. We can probably quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We probably have heard this verse at least, and probably a lot of us were able to quote it back as we just said it. It's very famous all by itself, but as we're kind of going through the scriptures, we can see that it's not a chapter unto itself. It's not a statement unto itself. It's a part of a conversation. And Jesus said John 3:16, and let's remember, Jesus said John 3:16 as a part of a conversation that he was having with a religious leader who was named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has instead snuck out at night to find Jesus, and under the cover of the night, he's having this kind of secret meeting because he's part of the religious leadership. And Jesus told Nicodemus that he wouldn't see the kingdom of God unless he were born again. And Nicodemus, thinking that Jesus is literally saying, like, you're going to be reborn, which is true, but in the way that Nicodemus was thinking of it, how can a person who's fully grown and even old go back into their mother's womb and be born again? And at its core, this little conversation is the essence of the gospel. Jesus explained to Nicodemus that there is a physical birth, and that is the birth that he called of water, and that there is a spiritual birth that he called of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life inside of a person, and that life is eternal and everlasting. And this is how Jesus explained being born again. And so this means that we are reborn, reintegrated with the Spirit of God, with nothing standing between us and the Spirit of God within us, giving us new life, born again. When we truly believe in Jesus, the whole status, the whole trajectory of our lives changes. We are awakened to new life within us. And then Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And as Jesus finishes explaining this to Nicodemus, it leaves us with plenty to think about. Jesus is saying those who truly believe have no judgment against them. But those who do not believe are already experiencing judgment. And that can be seen in this world. We just have to look around. The fact that people love the darkness more than the light is easy enough to see. And Jesus explains why. Because the light exposes what is in the darkness and tells the truth. And people want to stay in the shadows where they can hide and be duplicitous and do all kinds of things that aren't exposed. And so, yes, indeed, my friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But this rebirth is an invitation to be true, to step into the light. If we love the shadows and the darkness, then we are not in the light. Which leads us to consider, as we should, what are we afraid of being exposed? What are we trying to hold in the shadows or in the darkness? That, if we can identify that, is what is pulling us into the darkness. When being reborn means we are being pulled into the light, where there isn't anything to hide, and there isn't anything to lose, because our eyes have been opened, and we realize we have it all. We are children of the Most High God. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to shine the light of truth into our souls. We declare nothing off limits to you, as if we could hide anything from you. We invite your light to come into the darkness and expose what is lurking there and what is hiding there and what is manipulating us and pulling us into the darkness. May we see these things. May we see the root of these things. Lead and guide us that we might be true. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. And that is, it's the website, obviously. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. The app, the Daily Audio Bible app, we'll put that in the palm of your hand and nice and convenient on your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your tablet or phone or whatever device. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where you can find links to get connected on social media. It's where the prayer wall lives. And check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. And so, yeah, just check it out. Get connected in any way that you can, any way that you want to. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission that we've been on for, this is the 18th year, 7 days a week, this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen, anywhere in the world, any time of day or night, any time or season of life, no matter what's going on, it's there. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app That's the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. My name is Loving Heart in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm calling in for Darlene and her granddaughter, Sophie, in California. You called in because your granddaughter is in the hospital suffering from anorexia. And I'm so sorry. I know the pain because my daughter, who is now 16, has been suffering from anorexia for several years now. This is an incredibly difficult and cruel mental disease. And I just want you to know that you do know what to do, Darlene. You did exactly what you needed to do by calling in and asking us to lift her up in prayer. And you're lifting her up in prayer. That is the greatest weapon and the best thing you can do for her, along with loving her and supporting her and her mom and dad. I just want you to know that I will continue to lift Sophie up in prayer and think of her. And I hope that you too will think of my daughter who is going through this. Her name is Ella. And just keep lifting up these children because this disease is wicked. And I agree with you, it's evil. And we just want them to live full lives and see the beautiful images of God that they were made into. Hang in there and just know that it's going to be okay. And you and your family are deeply loved. And you know exactly what to do in this difficult time. Thank you for allowing us to lift her up in prayer alongside you. Amen.
Alton Esse. I've just been listening to the community prayer for April 15th. And I decided to let me stop and actually thank someone who just shared on community prayer. And that is Brian out in Florida. You actually motivated me to start listening to the community prayer. Just like how you had committed to listening throughout Lent as your commitment during that period, I decided, you know what, that's a great idea. Let me try that too. And my God, this has been such a blessing, yeah, to listen in and to start my mornings every day just listening to all the beautiful voices, all the prayer requests, all the songs that I shared, the stories that I shared. It's so motivational and so such a beautiful way to start the day. So I want to just thank Brian, and I want to thank this whole community for the blessing that you have put in my life, especially during this time. I just feel like I have an extended family, and I just want to thank you all.
Good morning, DAB. I love y'all so much. I haven't called in a long time. This is His Light from Tennessee. I guess it doesn't matter. I've been praying for everyone, but I just heard Becky from Orlando at the end of the podcast on April 23rd. And Becky, I just want to say I've heard so many of your prayer requests and throughout the years. I've been listening since 2010, but I just wanted to say thank you so, so much for your testimony. I guess maybe throughout the years, I never heard you say that you were a hardcore atheist, but your testimony was beautiful and wonderful and just shows the redemption and love and forgiveness and healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it. I love listening to people's testimonies, but I also know that somebody or somebodies had to have, it was something that they needed to hear to give them hope that those that are lost are going to be found. And I just pray for my family members. I have two, one that believes in God, but of her own making, the other hardcore atheist. His name is John. If anyone feels led to pray for John, I would appreciate it. Yeah, he's so far gone. He's 70 years old, and He has his own Facebook page against Christians, not against any other religion. But anyway, family, I love you. Thank you, Becky.
Hi, DAB family. It's Lisa from the East Coast. I also go by Philippians 4:6 on the prayer wall. Thank you so much for your continued prayers about my cancer journey. It's been a really rough ride, but I'm still continuing to really just look to God and have peace over my prognosis. Yeah, it's funny. I've just been filled with so much love, and I really am focusing on that. But all that said, it's been really hard. I just turned 36 last week. And, you know, when you're still relatively young, having to accept that, you know, I might have a year left is pretty tough when I had so many dreams. And so I'm continuing to pray for a miracle and healing. But the type of cancer I have is really aggressive, and there aren't a lot of options. It's very resistant to chemo, and surgery would really not prolong my life. It would more just help me feel a little bit better. So now I'm praying about that, about whether or not to go into surgery. So I could use prayers just about just peace and wisdom. And overall, the oncologist that I've been meeting with, it's been really surprising that nobody really knows exactly what I have. I have something that's just very rare. And so even the specialists aren't sure. I'm also just praying for anyone else that has cancer and is going through that. I know it's such an up and down battle, and I feel like we don't really have good days, even on the days that we feel well. You know, I think there's always something else going on. So I'm just praying for each of you to be able to focus on those positive moments and just for God.
This is Cecilia from the northern part of California. I have a prayer request that is kind of hard for me to say, but I got a call from my son this morning, who is a missionary in the Czech Republic. He told me that he had an appointment with a neurologist in his hometown about 2.5 hours south of Prague. He was told that he has a meningioma, which is a tumor in the meninges behind his left eye, which has been causing tremors of his left hand, headaches, forgetfulness, foggy brain, feelings of depression, just, you know, overall malaise. And he just got married. He's 34, and he's much younger than most people who get this disease. The doctor believes that it's just a benign tumor, but he won't have an MRI until the 17th of May. So if you guys could pray for him, his name is Sean. He's my eldest son, and I love him dearly. He believes God is in total control of the situation, but obviously he's concerned, especially for his work there as a missionary in his hometown. He loves his adopted country and the people there. I would be so appreciative. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Dabas. This is God's Chosen from Georgia. This afternoon, I want to lift up Lisa, Philippians 4:6. Lisa, you are not alone. You are not alone. If the Lord can do this for me, I know He can do it for you. I read your post this morning, and it moved me to tears. And I have been on my knees praying to God to do a miracle in your life. I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that it's not over, because God has covered you with the blood of the Lamb. I'm declaring Psalm 91 over you this afternoon. I'm also praying Psalm 23 over you today. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Jehovah Rapha, the sovereign God that is able to heal, the one that is able to deliver, the one that is able to change this diagnosis. It doesn't matter the stage of cancer. When God is ready to do a miracle, he doesn't take permission from anyone. And so I know, because he did it for me, I trust him to do it for you. I pray blessings over you. I pray strength. I pray peace. I pray courage. And I pray that you keep a positive attitude. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I love you, Lisa.